What is happiness? People have agonized over this question for centuries, and it's began to really weigh on Dr. Bev's mind, especially with all that is happening in our country, what's going on in our land with people and human beings and stress. These holidays times are very, very stressful, and I wanted to talk about with my guest, what is happiness? People have agonized over this question for centuries, but only recently has science begun to weigh in on the debate. Now, before we get to what the science is about, let me start by giving you some answers to somewhat an easier question. What isn't happiness? Happiness is not feeling good all the time. Happiness is not being rich and affording everything you want. Happiness is not a final destination. So what is happiness? Well, that's what we're going to find out today.
Finally, a psychotherapist that focuses on helping people strive for self-awareness and thrive for self-satisfaction with their place in the world. It's a show for real people with real lives, with all the drama, trauma, and chaos that life can throw at you. Here she is, Dr. Bev.
I want to welcome my guest to the show, Patricia Knowles. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you, Dr. Bell.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you on the show again. I know that your mission and your passion is to make a contribution to society by making a difference in the way people see themselves, especially those who have given up on life and those who, on the flip side, who are so good at faking they are good, faking that they are happy. Not only are you going to answer some of our most frequently asked questions, you're also going to share 5 easy tips that everyone can do at the end. Thank you, Patricia.
That's right.
Let's get right to it. So, what is the secret to experiencing peace at this time in our world instead of stress during the holidays or other special celebrations like birthdays, family get-togethers, social events? You know, the list goes on.
Yes. Some people have the secret because they just seem to be happy all the time, right, Dr. Bev? And so what I say to that is oftentimes those that seem to be happy all the time might be faking it. They might not be as happy as they are looking to be on the outside. It might not be on the inside. And I think the secret is really learning how to be at peace, inner peace with ourselves, to really truly love who we are and not loving the pretend person that we often are. So, and that just requires a shift in the way that we see ourselves.
And that's a huge shift, because when it comes to happiness, we see fake all the time. You know, I see fake when I'm at board meetings or this or that, and people are all dressed up and they have their smiles and they have their little cue cards in their head, you know, about what to say and what to ask you. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying, you can't, there's something wrong here. You know, you're almost 500 pounds. Not to say that people don't have, you know, weight issues, but I'm looking at this person who's telling me that everything is so wonderful in their world. It's so great, blah, 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 blah. But yet I look at how they're taking care of themselves on the inside and I go, no, that feels like a little depression to me. Maybe some self-hate going on. You know, maybe your fakeness has gotten so good that you don't even know who you are.
Yes. And I think that does happen. And so we got such a wall that separates us from others because we don't want anyone to get inside and figure out that, oh, there is something going on. And, you know, we always want to say, oh, something is wrong. And I like to get rid of that word wrong and just that, you know, something's going on. And what is that? It doesn't mean that we're wrong or we're bad or we're not one else. I think we're all in this together for the most part. And, you know, I said this, I think, before, Dr. Bev, but I spent most of my life looking at others and wondering why I wasn't as happy as they are. Mm. I thought everyone else was happy and I wasn't. And I got really good at pretending that I was happy so that no one was different. And I think that's what a lot of us do. And I think especially, you know, as you mentioned, when it comes to special occasions and meetings and social events and, you know, the holidays as they come along where maybe family members are getting together and comparing themselves to one another. So I think that just adds to that, okay, I'm not going to let anyone know what's going on. I'm going to just put my act on and look happy like everyone else does. And then we're so sad inside and depressed. And that leads to many things. That leads to the 500 pounds or the alcohol addiction or drugs or, you know, it could be anything. Just watching movies all day long and not living life, you know, can be lots of things to distract ourselves and do whatever we can to we're okay.
Yeah, to hold on to that imaginary peace that we think we have. One of the things that you just mentioned is so key to me, and that is when you go to these special celebrations and whatever, people are always comparing. And to me, comparing is shaming. You're really shaming the other person.
Absolutely.
And it's so sad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and when we compare, we either find something wrong with them so we can be very judgmental, mm-hmm. or we find that it's all wrong with us, and then we judge ourselves harshly. So, and sometimes, many times, we do both. We judge them, and, oh, this isn't okay, but then we judge ourselves the same way.
And that's called self-hate. We're hating on ourselves rather than loving ourselves. And that just compounds the stress of the holidays when people feel like they have to spend over money, money that they don't have, or they have to have, you know, give the best birthday present, you know, get together. They're the ones that, you know, they want to cook everything and bring everything when they're tired. They're depressed. Mm-hmm. They barely have it together. But on that day, they want to show everyone, oh no, I'm fine. You know, frustrated, irritated, neurotic, and neurotic and erratic. But to you guys, it's hello. How are you?
Yes. And why is that? You know, I have a whole list of things like that we go through. You know, sometimes we just need to please everyone on our Christmas list, you know. How many people just absolutely are stressed to the max just picking out gifts for friends and family members because it has to be the right gift so that they look good and they get approval from that other person. Right?
It's a sad thing.
Yeah, yeah. Or what about if you don't know what to wear in order to fit in and belong with this holiday event or, you know, or that you don't have enough money to purchase and find all the right gifts or have the time even to do that sometimes. So there's so much going on, but it stems from the fact that we're just not okay with who we are. And if we were okay and really liked who we are from the inside out, we would just say, okay, I'm going to do the best I can here. And if they don't like what I look like or what gift I give them, that's on them, because I've done what I can do. I've done what works for me.
And that's so important. You mentioned debt. I just, you know, even before Halloween, I was starting to see Christmas decorations, mm-hmm. and it just like made me want to vomit. Like, okay, we got Black Friday, we got White Monday or whatever that thing is. What is
right.
it? You know, you go
Cyber
on the
Monday.
Cyber Monday. I'm going like,
yeah,
really?
Cyber Monday.
You know, you guys are going to get this because we just had, you know, Halloween. Can we take down the decorations first? You know,
right.
From Halloween.
You said we haven't even had Halloween. We already have the Christmas decorations.
Right. There's no time for peace of mind to rest in between those occasions which appear to be good to us. We don't give ourselves mm-hmm. time enough to reflect on who we are, what we've done, being our real selves. We just
right. So
right. You're right.
So yes, and you know what I so rudely was jumping in there because I got so excited about this, Dr. Bev. I think what you're saying is that, you know, we just have to kind of turn a blind eye to what society is doing. So they have Christmas out in the stores before Halloween. I think then it's up to us to be responsible for our fun and inner peace and happiness. And if the stores and the merchants think they have to put Christmas out before Halloween is over, well, that's up to them. However, it's up to me to say, you know, that's theirs. I'm going to enjoy, first of all, my Halloween, and then I'm going to enjoy my Thanksgiving, and then it'll be my Christmas, my New Year. And I'm going to be in charge of me. And I'm going to take responsibility for me. And so whatever anyone else does is just theirs. And I think that's a hard thing for us to do, because we have these ideas going on, and I call them the four attachments, that when we're not really okay with ourselves for real, and we are doing a lot of it, you know, the four attachments are because we're worried about what other people think of us. We then need to have their approval.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look good so that we get it. We need to be right so that we look good, so that we have that approval. And we need to control the outcome and the timing and the way things work. So if we can feel and change, we see ourselves so that we're just not victims of whatever else is going on, and we're not victimizing ourselves with our own thoughts, then I think we can lighten up and loosen up and allow ourselves to have fun no matter what's going on. What do you think about that?
The biggest word you said to me that stuck out was control. That people want to have power and control over how they're perceived by others. Not possible.
That's right.
It's not possible.
Not gonna happen.
Uh-huh.
That's absolutely right.
And it's knowing your difference, the difference between self-dependent esteem and other-dependent esteem. Acquiring your self-dependent esteem is what I hear you talking about, especially in your book that you've written, Good With Me. Give me some info on just what is self-dependent esteem according to your four attachments? What is other-dependent esteem? What is acquiring self-dependent esteem?
Oh, that's such a good question, Dr. Babb, and one that I love to talk about because it is life-changing once we understand and see the difference. It's different. And what we have been taught from the get-go by others in our society is other-dependent esteem. And what I mean by that is that I can only esteem myself if you esteem me, or if I look good to you, or if you approve of me, or if I've had this awesome accomplishment, and then, you know, it's like at me. Those are all other dependent because they come from someone or something outside of ourselves. Like, look at the new house I just bought, or look at the awesome gifts I'm giving people this year for Christmas, or, you know, whatever that is, that's all outside of us. And that is where the unhappiness comes in, because that other dependent esteem can come and go. We don't always get it. There isn't enough of it. And when we're dependent upon it, there will never, ever be enough of it. So we go on this roller coaster ride through life, feeling good, not so good, feeling good, not so good. If you like me today and I get a lot of approval, wow, I really esteem myself today. Mm-hmm. That's what real high esteem is about, is when you esteem me, I have high esteem for myself. But if I haven't done so great today, or no one noticed me much today, then I don't have any esteem for myself today, because I'm not getting filled up from the outside. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think we have come to misunderstand and misuse the term self-esteem, because the way that it works for most of us today, there isn't anything self about it. It's other dependent. Real self-esteem comes from the inside of me. It's about how I think about me from the inside out, and it has nothing to do, your opening was so perfect, it has nothing to do with what I have and what I know and what I do at all. It has to do with the fact that I was born, I exist, and I have value just because I exist, for no other reason than I am. And so that's where we have to really start to change the way we think about ourselves. We don't have to do anything or prove anything to anyone to be good enough. And we can do everything that we want to do. It's okay. It isn't saying, well, just don't have this and don't do that and don't be successful. It means that when I value myself from the inside out first, just because I exist, then I can do anything I want to do, and it will be fun doing it rather than stressful doing it. How many people really enjoy many of the things that they have to the fullest extent because they're stressed out about paying for them, keeping them, having the right things, having enough, looking good to other people? You know, do they like me for this or for that? That is so stressful. That takes away our happiness. And it's impossible to be happy when we don't really love ourselves, when we're just not happy with ourselves from the inside out, just because we're alive.
Right.
It's such a simple concept, it's so different from what we've been taught.
Exactly, which makes it very complex to many. And I love it when you said, you know, that word esteem, self-esteem, you know, you have some issues with that. I've always had issues with that, but I've never heard it put in such a way that just, you know, made my spirit calm just to hear you give the definition of that and why it's so important not to be dependent on self-esteem. Your esteem comes from within you. It is about yourself. But we've made it into this little label. I mean, how many books, you know, have you seen, you know, find your way to your greatest self-esteem and make $1 million in 3 days, you know, really?
Yes, really. And, you know, Dr. Beth, that's how I lived my life. A big portion of it was, you know, I went by the rule book. If we set goals, if I set these goals and I was successful and I had certain things and I had houses and cars and families and, you know, my family and children and whatever, if I did all those things and I set goals, then I was going to have self-esteem. I was going to feel really good about me. And what a disappointment for me. I did all those things, and it didn't change the way I saw myself on the inside. I still felt phony. Like, I didn't really do all this. You know, anybody could do this stuff. And that's when I finally had to do something about it, because I, like many people, I drank too much. I ate too much junk food. I wanted to shop too much. I wanted to do just anything that would distract me and give me a few moments of feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think I'm not so different from most of our society.
Oh, no, definitely not. I think you're describing our society exactly right. I mean, I see the people who come into my office and, you know, when you talked about your four attachments, you know, those are the things that are bothering them, that are causing them stress and depression. And they don't quite understand why, because, well, you know, everything is good. You know, my mortgage is paid. My Bentley is outside. You know, I'm able to pay for my appointment. You know, what?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, that didn't make your Bentley didn't make you happy. You know, you saw another Bentley over there that your neighbor has, and it's like, oh, I like that color better than my color. Really? People, stop, drop, and roll. This is Emotions Are Us. Let's be real. Let's be raw. Let's be authentic and come with what can we do to begin to change. And Patricia, thank you so much for sharing so deeply and authentically about yourself. No, I don't believe that you're different from others. I believe you're mm-hmm. right in the mainstream of what everyone is doing, but nobody wants to talk about it. And I'm glad that you have the gahunas to put it out there. And say, no, this is not what it is. And guess what? I did it too, and it didn't work for me. Now, what?
Right. Now what? Yes. And I think, you know, that's some of the change that takes place when good with me, like I'm okay with me. And it doesn't matter if somebody wants to judge me by that. That's their issue, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because getting okay with ourselves gives us the ability to be authentic, to mm-hmm. be genuine, to be real. And I wouldn't have dreamed of letting anyone know that about me in the past. That would have been my, that I still felt phony on the inside. I wouldn't want anyone to know that mm-hmm. because I just want to look good on the outside to others, right? So that they approve of me. And, you know, some people would even say, oh my gosh, you're so intimidating. Look at you, you know? And I couldn't understand that. But it was like, okay, great. You know, you're not going to see who I am on the inside. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've had...
I have you fooled.
I got you, fool. I'm intimidating. Oh, thank you. I didn't know that about myself. I don't feel that way inside. So your judgment of me that I'm intimidating is really...
No, I just meant in general. I wasn't picking on you, Dr. Bell.
I think I say that in general. I say that in general because,
yeah.
Again, you know, I'm a human being. I'm my authentic self is as much as I possibly can be. And, you know, I've had those judgments upset about me. You know, you're intimidating. You're so good and smart at what you do. Then, you know, I don't know how I can stand next to you. You know, they put you up on a pedestal, and I'm like, hold up. Don't put me on a pedestal because it's too far to fall down. Okay. I don't want to be there. But having those judgments about what people say about who I am, what my personality is, what I do, what I don't do, I'm this kind of person, I'm that kind of person. And I look at it and I'm saying, no, to myself, I'm just being me. I apologize if it offends you or somehow causes you stress. That's not my purpose, but it's also not my responsibility to take how you feel about me and let that be your judgment and make it myself. That's not my responsibility. Your stuff is your stuff. My stuff is my stuff. Stay in your lane. Yeah, I'll stay in my lane.
I like that. That's good. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we can't be responsible for the way someone else thinks. You said that so well early. And we have to let other people think what they think. And the thing of it is if I don't like myself, I don't really, truly like you either. I will be friendly. I will be cordial. I might even say nice things about you. But inside, I have that comparing going on. We call it comparanoia. Remember that?
Yes.
That word, that new word about comparing is comparanoia. And so we have that going on. And then we're a little envious maybe, or we're thinking, you know, well, okay, what's next? What am I going to do after this? And, you know, we're just not really real and authentic and genuine in our relationships with others.
You're so,
and so
right.
You know, it just,
I love your word, comparanoia. You
know, yes.
Comparanoia. That gives you, that to me says shame, blame, guilt. Comparanoia. I love it. I love it because that's what you're doing to the other person. You know, you're shaming them, you're guilting them, you're blaming them. And you're saying the things that you do to me, your blame, your shame, your comparanoia of me is really a projection of how you feel about yourself.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. And so it's never about us. But, you know, if someone doesn't like us, then where's the first place we go with that? It's like, oh, what's wrong with me? What did I do? What did I say? Oh, did I hurt your feelings? Take that on and make ourselves wrong, and it isn't even about us. It's about them and how they feel about themselves. And that's really a hard concept to understand oftentimes, that when someone is rude, it just isn't about us. It's about them. And so, you know, we don't have to give it any attention.
And how do we do that? So many of us do that. You know, we take what others say as truth about ourselves, and we know it's not true, but yet we take on that shame, that blame, that guilt.
Right. You know, that is such a good question. And I think, you know, I kind of have a list of things that helps us to overcome that for ourselves. And so I would, one thing want to ask is, am I all about seeking approval from others?
Mm-hmm.
And so is that why I act a certain way? Or is that why they're acting a certain way? Or is that why I think it's about me? Because if they don't like me and I'm about seeking approval from others, then it's got to be something wrong with me, because otherwise they would like me. So I have to ask myself, you know, am I seeking approval from them? Important is that to me? Am I worried about what they're thinking about me? You know, and how important is it to me to look good to them so that they will approve of me? And how much do I really need to be right so that they will treat me differently? And why is it that I think I have to be in control of this? And why is it that I think I can somehow change who I am and be better in order to control how they think about me and how they treat me? Because I can't do that, as you said before. It's totally impossible. I can't control another person's. I can only control my own. And so when I start asking myself those questions, if I can get real with myself, my response is probably going to be, wow, this is about me. I'm not feeling good about the way they're treating me, and I'm thinking I'm bad and I'm wrong because that's how I see myself. Mm-hmm. And it really has nothing to them at that point in time. Now this is mine to fix for me. And I can do that because that's the one thing I am able to control is myself and the way I think about me.
And especially that sounds like it's getting to the root of what your interpersonal stress is about.
Yes, absolutely. Came from the inside out, and it's coming from, of course, a lifetime of thoughts that we have about ourselves that we have taken on from others and owned them. But it all started with us. We started to compare ourselves to others. You know, probably when Mom was comparing us, did we walk as fast as her sister's baby? You know, mm-hmm. did we do everything that everyone else was doing? And we started to internalize all of that, and we've just done a really good job of it by ourselves. We don't even need any help with that in that department, you know, because we're really good at that. And because we're so good at thinking the negative thoughts about ourselves at this point in time in life, think about how much crap has gone into that. Mm-hmm. Getting as good as we are about thinking so negatively about ourselves and being so dependent upon others to like us because we don't like ourselves. So if we can get that good with what we are right now in the negative, I know that with practice, we can get just as good and better if we switch to being positive about ourselves.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Patricia, you know, you're really being controversial here, and I love it. This is Emotions Are Us, where we can say, what? This is the truth, because your concept defies traditional teachings about self-esteem. Other dependent esteem is what you've been talking about. And 85 to 90% of the society is like, no, I don't think she's right. That's not what mother did. Mother taught me how to do this and that. And as you said, those are the traditions that you were brought up in, you know. But then again, I look at it generational, you know. I don't know what your mother went through in order to now teach you this way of being. And I don't know what her mother went through to teach her that way of being, for her to come to the conclusion of how to teach you about self-esteem. And it appears to be that you are controversial, right? We've been teaching other dependent esteem. I said it. That's she said right. it. I'm backing Patricia up.
Good. Yes, and that 85 to 90% of us who have been taught that have other-dependent esteem in our society. That's the percentage. And so, you know, with that other-dependent esteem comes that struggle with unhappiness and addiction and toxic relationships and stressful holidays and just the unhappiness that we end up feeling.
Yeah, I know people listening to this often struggle with unhappiness, addiction, toxic relationships, and, you know, so forth, so on. But you discovered a unique approach to real happiness and has changed the lives of many, including your own. Tell me a little something about that.
Yes, I'd be glad to. The first thing that has to happen, Dr. Bav, is each one of us has to give ourselves permission to learn something new that initially sounds like we're learning a foreign language. You know, and be willing to give up our excuses about why we are the way we are. You don't have to give excuses. How many times are we listening to someone and they're saying, well, I did it that way because, and then they start telling this whole long story and we get so bored with that whole long story because it's just justification and excuses about why we are the way we are, why we do what we do. And it's important that we realize and learn for ourselves, internalize that we are not what we do, what we know, or what we have. We are this beautiful, valuable human being, and we have value because of that, because we exist. And lastly here, we have to stop comparing ourselves to others.
Comparanoia. It's out there. And the other thing
you said
really clicks with me, and that is excuses. You know, it's kind of one of my little pet peeves that I'm still working on. You know, I prefer if someone's going to tell me no, just say, you know, no, I don't want to do that right now, or, you know, I'll take a rain check, or, you know, but to listen to no, because blah, 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 to the squad. I don't want to hear that. It's time consuming.
Right. So
the bottom line is no, just accept it.
Mm-hmm. And no, in my book, is a complete sentence.
Hello. It ends with a period.
Hello. No, period. That's a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we justify? Why do we have to do the because? We do that so that we can still look good and get approval and be right and all those four attachments and be in control of what the other person thinks about us once we give them our because.
I think I need to call the health department so that we can add comparanoia into the DSM-5. I think it needs an F code.
I agree.
That's for my audience. That's the codes that we use for diagnosis. And I definitely can see that if I had the opportunity to use this as a diagnosis, comparanoia, it would be. The majority, and I won't say the majority, but I'll just give it, there would be many who would fall under that definition. And I mean, you can see it as soon as, you know, they walk through the door. My thing is, when I have a client in my office, I often go in last, and I just want to see where they sit, you know, inevitably they'll look at me and they'll go, well, where do I sit? Wherever you want.
Right.
And it's almost like, wait a minute, hold up. You're supposed to tell me what to do. No, you're at Dr. Bev Mental Health LLC. I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's not my job.
Right.
And my job is to assist you with your comparanoia, to assist you with your other-dependent esteem, to help you, assist you in finding ways, as you are speaking of, how to move yourself from, remove yourself from, you know, beforeville, you know, past, you know, don't, and not go right to the future without having enjoyed. Can we just get up from the Thanksgiving table and just have enjoyed the meal? No. Thanksgiving comes, soon as everybody's eating, there's two or three people, they're cleaning up, they're picking up stuff, nobody's just sitting down and like talking and being real and having real discussions. It's so fake, so comparanoia. This beautiful, beautiful, doubly long table full with all different kinds of food and pies and cake, and everybody's, you know, laughing and joking and comparing one to the other. And this dish somebody who made this dish, it tastes better than this one over here. And it just, I look at it, and I'm a voyeur, so I really love watching people and how they interact. And I notice that even before everyone has finished the meal, digest the meal, you have those people who want that approval. They're seeking approval. And so they start cleaning up, moving things around, doing this, doing that, and not having a moment to say, wow, that was a lovely meal. It's supposed to be Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for the people being around me. I'm thankful for the food that we ate. But instead, it's about approval. Well, if I can get up and I can start cleaning and doing this and doing that, everyone is going to pay attention to me. I'm going to get approval for doing this. Comparanoia, yeah. Comparanoia, comparanoia, yeah. Comparanoia. Yep.
You got it. You got it. I get to look good if I'm the one doing all the work. And yet then we complain about that afterwards. Well, no one helped me out. We want them to help us out because we got to look good. I worked harder than anyone else did. So look at me. Yay me.
And that is so true. I just heard that. I felt like Cinderella. I cleaned up everything and no one offered to help. I'm like, excuse me, I know right. I didn't, because that's not my job. I want to sit back and relax right. for a minute and just enjoy. I mean, you know, the dirty dishes can stay there for a while. It'll be okay. It'll still be there. But can we have, right. you know, join in one with another and have that peace and joy and love before we go on to the next thing that has to be done or we think has to be done?
Yes. And I think what you just described was that looking good isn't always about something that is really good, if you will, to get the approval. Often you hear someone say, oh, my day was way more stressful than yours. And that's to look good. Or, oh, my surgery was worse than yours. I was really sick. And that's to look good. So it isn't always about look at my new house and my new car or whatever, or my new job title. It's look how bad it is for me so that I look better than you do. I look good to you.
That brings up a story for me. I worked in substance abuse for many years, and I had a women's group, and the women's group was dual diagnosed, which means you have substance abuse but you also have some sort of diagnosis on the mental health side. So you're there are two things going, maybe three or four things going on with you. And I would love it when the new women would come in, because the other women already knew the rules about pain. You know, everybody's got a story, and everybody came in with a story because it's substance abuse. I found it humorous that an alcoholic will come into the room and tell their story. And then when the crack addict got up, to tell her story. The alcohol, well, you know, my pain was worse than yours because it was this and it was that. And the other person is saying, but no, my pain was worse because it was, I'm like, hold up.
That's right.
Let's just stop for a minute and look at this word pain. Pain is pain is pain. The way you feel pain may not be the way I feel pain, but we use the same word for it. Pain. Paranoia again.
Yes.
I'm comparing my pain to your pain. Tell me. Stop, drop, and roll. This is Dr. Bev. That's something that I just don't understand.
Right. But what they were doing, Dr. Bev, was for having the most pain. So they were getting to look good to get approval from the rest of the group. Like, my pain was way worse than theirs. And that's what's underlying that whole process of look how bad my pain was, look how much harder I worked than you did. It's those four attachments when we aren't feeling good about ourselves.
Give us those four attachments again. I want to make sure people understand that.
Yes, the four attachments are the need for approval from others, the need to look good, the need to be right, and the need to control the outcome of things.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
And we do those. Yeah, it is so powerful. And it's really, if we really start to pay attention, and I would have everyone listening to do that for themselves because it's so eye-opening. We can see it in others. We can see it in ourselves. It's what is running our society. It's like the undercurrent in the Gulf out in the ocean, you know, that under... what do you call it? But, you know, that's running all the time. And that's just kind of running underneath everything. And then we do all of our acting out on top of that.
Well, I'm just going to go there with you on that one right there, because I know that you believe mm-hmm. that a lack of both self-esteem and other dependent esteem is a global issue. And I so agree with you on that. It's a global issue that creates violence and criminal activity. What makes you say that?
Yeah.
I know why I say that. Well, what makes you say that?
Well, what happens when an individual has neither self-dependent esteem, they don't like themselves, and they think no one else likes them either? That's where we see the criminal activity, especially. That's where we see the kids taking guns to school and shooting. You know, I don't like myself, and I don't think any of you like me either. So I'm really angry. I'm really unhappy. I am, that anger turns rage. And as you know, when we are in that rage mode, it has to go somewhere. It's either going to explode or it's going to implode. So when it explodes, that's the violence. That could be domestic violence. That could be a school shooting, a mall shooting. That could be a fight. That could be the criminal activity. I'm going to hurt you somehow, some way, because I don't like you. You, in my book, are better than me. I'm nothing. No one likes me. I don't like me. And so I'm going to hurt you. And many times we see both happening at the same time. I'm going to hurt you, and then I'm going to hurt me. And we see that the world over. You know, nations go to war to be right.
Yeah.
To look good, to get approval.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're different from me. You don't believe the way I do. Your government is different from mine. So what do? We send the planes and the bombs or the whatever. You know, I'm saying that kind of loosely, but that's kind of, you know, that's what happens. You have to, you know, I don't like you because why? Because I'm not okay with myself. We are really a nation with no self-esteem. We are a nation of other dependent esteem. So globally, we need to be liked by others.
Boy, this concept is really timely.
It is.
It's it's timely to what's happening with our new presidential elect. It's happening across the world where we seem like we're all divided, and it's about hate. And I mean, what happens, you know, when you have neither one, discontent, happiness? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so prevalent. You know, people are going, well, I can't be happy without this person being in office. I can't be happy without, you know, I'm not getting a bonus this year because the economy is down. What? That's not happiness.
Yeah. That's right. You said it so well. It says, I can't be happy without. And then they have this long list of things. Mm-hmm. And that is never going to give them happiness. Happiness has to come from the inside out. I'm happy just because I'm alive. I'm me. I have a life. And it's so simple. In my book, Good With Me, the last chapter, I have a quote from Steve Jobs, who's the late CEO of Apple, who just changed our world with what he did, his knowledge. But he says, and I just love this, that simple can be harder than complex. You have to work hard to get your thinking clean to make it simple. But it's worth it in the end, because once you get there, you can move mountains.
Wow.
And so, you know, I said earlier, this is really simple. It isn't complex. It's about changing the thoughts that we have about ourselves. And that is what can lead to happiness, that can lead to liking who we are, and then we like others. It changes our world.
And it definitely does. Earlier I mentioned that before we end the show, that you would give from your book, five easy tips to begin the process. We've talked about what is good, what is not so good, this, that, and the other, but I like to leave people with solutions. I'm solution focused. You know, what can you do?
Yes, I like that. The first tip is be aware. Pay attention to what you think others think you should be, do, have, whatever, all those things that you're thinking that you have to be in order to get their approval. And then I want you to stop internalizing that you don't have to internalize what others think, because it really, what others think about you, what matters is what you think about yourself. And I want to give you the proof for that. When someone says, oh, you're awesome, and you've done this wonderful job, and you're beautiful, and you're all of this, does that really change the way you see yourself from the inside out? Or does it just feel good for a little while? And then you'll get a sense that it doesn't matter what others think about you. And yet that's all we focus on. What really matters is what you think about you. So then I want you to pay attention by listening to your own thinking about yourself. This is where it's really important. This is where the work starts to really make a shift. And then when you can see, oh my gosh, I'm thinking these awful things about myself, or I'm calling myself stupid, or that was dumb, or I can't believe you did whatever. That's when I want you to shift that negative thought to something positive about you. What a difference a thought makes. I want you to know that. And so with practice, begin each day with a positive word about yourself. Pick a word, a positive word, anything, friendly, nice, happy, grateful. And I want you to repeat that word throughout the day. And I want you to catch yourself saying those negative words to yourself and say, well, wait a minute, I'm beautiful, I'm wonderful, I'm magnificent, whatever that word is that you've chosen for the day, and start making that change in the way that you see yourself.
Patricia Knowles, thank you so much. Thank you for being on our show today. How can our viewers continue to learn how to have real self-dependent esteem?
Yes. Thank you for having me on the show, by the way, first of all. And then viewers and listeners can go to www.goodwithme.com. It's real easy. Goodwithme.com. And, of course, the book Good With Me is available on the site, and it's also available from Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all of the independent bookstores as well.
Well, I thank you again for being on our show, and I encourage everyone to read Good With Me. Share it with your children. Share it with your coworkers. And begin to be authentic with yourself. This is Dr. Bev. Emotions are us.